You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today are Susan Sobin and Steve Schiller, and they are representing OLLI. OLLI is what used to be the Center for Lifelong Learning, and we'll explain that a little bit. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Louis.
Thank you.
Now, as I mentioned, this used to be the Center for Lifelong Learning, but it's been a while. I think it's been like 2005, you mentioned, or something like that. So tell us exactly, what does OLLI stand for?
OLLI stands for the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute.
And it's pretty much what the Center for Lifelong Learning used to be?
It is. It's an extension of the program started by President Natalicio to reach out to seniors age 50 and over. She started it in 1990. And it was originally staffed by retired faculty and local business leaders. It grew, it was very popular. And then in 2005, we were admitted to a nationwide network of similar learning centers for seniors. And that's where our current name comes from. It's the Bernard Osher Foundation.
Now, Steve, tell us about your relationship to the program and your involvement with classes, teaching as a student,
I teach a music appreciation class. Well, when I was first contacted by OLLI, I assumed that I would be dropping a needle on a record player, and the way classes have always been done. And then they brought me in and showed me what they call a smart podium. I have no technology background, and I was shocked to see that you can actually get on the internet and get on YouTube, and that I wasn't even aware that there are a tremendous number of orchestral videos online on YouTube. So my class uses YouTube technology, and I show symphony performances, sometimes opera and ballet, from YouTube, and I do a little commentary and demonstration. I use a keyboard. Sometimes I play my trumpet and demonstrate some aspects of the music that they're going to hear, and then show spots from music videos.
Susan, do they have to take a class, or is this difficult for them as far as getting accustomed to the technology?
Not really. We've been amazed at how quickly people have adapted and what they've brought to our classes.
And as far as most of the classes are done that way with, do you have digital books, e-books, or how does that work?
We work a lot with the internet, right. Class assignments will be sent out by internet, or we're asked to Google for information for various courses.
How are the classes selected? I know the registration is ongoing. Steve mentioned the class that he teaches, but some people may wonder, well, I'm not sure what, if I were to go back to school, what classes would I take? And I'm sure the other thing that they say is, I'm too old to go to school.
Oh, well, one of our best points is there are no exams or papers, so there's no pressure. People are gathering just for the sheer joy of learning, and also it's a social organization, just to get to know each other and to have to form maybe good discussion groups after class.
What are the prerequisites, Susan, for enrolling in the classes?
There really aren't any. All you have to do is register, and you can do that. Well, first, check out our course schedule online. We're at olli@utep.org. Or if you give our office a call, they can mail you a course brochure.
Now, what is the age limit? People might wonder about that.
50, starting at age 50.
And the classes, you can take just about anything?
Can
you give us an example of some of the classes you're offering?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll read you our categories. We're offering 72 classes in the spring term. We have hands-on arts and crafts, painting, drawing, as well as woodworking and flower design, body, mind, and spirit, which include yoga and tai chi, current issues, including a national issues forum, which will cover Social Security and immigration, also financial investments. We have history, including the Civil War, humanities, languages, and this term we're starting Russian and Brazilian Portuguese. We offer literature classes, music, and this term we're starting a choir. We'll have classes on religious beliefs. This term we're doing Hinduism, discovering Islam, and Buddhism. We have a sciences section, which will include alternative medicines. We have travel, which will include an armchair travel course, that is, videos from foreign countries, and also a writing section, which includes writing your memoirs How to Be a Ghostwriter and Family Detective. In other words, how to research your ancestral history.
And is there a limit as to how many classes they can take? And I guess that would depend on the schedule.
It does. We offer 2 classes per day, 5 days a week. There are 2 time slots, in other words. We go 1:15 to 3 and then 3:15 to 4:15. So if people come every day, they could take 10 classes. Oh, and we're also offering 3 classes on Saturday.
Steve, with the music appreciation class that you're teaching, how did you put together the syllabus or decide what to show them? Did they give you any guidelines or you just kind of did it on your own?
No, they just said, do anything you want, which is an amazing opportunity. So last year, school year, I taught a class in the fall, a class in the spring, and a class in the summer semesters. And this year, I've already taught a class in the fall, and I'm scheduled for one in the spring. And it's different every time. And what I did, my first class was titled Just Symphony. And the class was based on the music that was going to be performed by the Las Cruces and El Paso Symphonies that coming season. And so all of the music that I did in class was music that people could actually go out and hear live performances of. This fall, I did what I called the second annual symphony class. So it was, the music was completely different. It was based on the repertoire of the upcoming season. The second semester last year, I did late Romantic composers, Mahler, Bruckner, and Strauss. And in the summer, I did great French composers. And now I'm scheduled to do great Italian composers for the spring semester. So it's kind of fun for me because I can there's so much music to choose from, and I can do something different every time.
And Susan mentioned earlier that when the program first started, it had UTEP faculty and some retired faculty. And you're a professional as well because you play with the symphony.
Well, I'm a retired symphony player from the North. I was a member of the National Ballet of Canada, not as a dancer.
Okay.
And the Cleveland Orchestra, the Springfield, Massachusetts Symphony, and Brooklyn Philharmonic in New York, and I played Broadway musicals in New York for many years, and I've also substituted with the Metropolitan Opera and the Boston Symphony and a bunch of others. And I moved here 8 years ago. I retired to this area, and I play regularly with the Las Cruces Symphony, and when they use 4 trumpets in El Paso or someone takes a vacation week, then I'll play in El Paso too.
Now, that's great. And so you've experienced a little bit of everything all over the country. So when you came here 8 years ago, basically Brooklyn, the eagle has landed. You're out here.
The weather's a lot nicer here.
Yes. When you're teaching, because of your experience, what are some of the questions that the students may ask you?
Well, the students are very interesting here. Many of the people in the classes that I teach are very knowledgeable about music. And also, some of them come in with smartphones. And occasionally, I will make an error. I'll say someone died in 1872, and there's someone looking it up. No, they died in 1873.
I've had that happen. They keep on your toes.
I have to be very much on my toes. And also, sometimes, when I did the French class during the summer, I wasn't sure of some of the French pronunciations of names. And I had a lady right there that was fluent in French and could correct me and help me out. Some of the videos are from all over the world. So sometimes I'll show a video with the Berlin Philharmonic recording or performing, or in Zurich in a concert hall. And there are people that actually have been to those concert halls and can add to the information, you know, about the performance for the class. So it's and they'll ask great questions. They'll ask about the structure of symphony orchestras in terms of as a job. For instance, they'll ask, well, let's just say your first trumpet. Do you get your job back next year, or can 100 people audition for it year after year? And you know, the answer is that the big orchestras are union orchestras with collective bargaining agreements. So when you have a position, you do have job security and that sort of thing. But they'll ask very detailed technical questions about the music profession. in addition to the composers and the music and the instruments themselves. So it's very interesting for me.
Susan, tell us a little bit about your experience with Ollie, and then we'll talk a little bit about the scheduling.
Okay. Well, my job is publicity. I try to get the word out and gain as many new members as we can every term. So mainly I work with the local media. KTEP Radio has been very helpful to us providing interviews. Also UTEP Communications. We also work with El Paso Scene and El Paso Plus, part of the El Paso Inc., publication.
The schedule that you mentioned earlier, what specifically do the students have to do as far as registering? Do they have to come here? Is it online? And then when does the semester actually start?
Okay, classes start on February 9th. There are two ways to register. You can either give us a call. We're on campus. Our numbers are 747-6280 or 747-8848. And you can enroll right over the phone with a credit card. And the other option is just to come into our office. We're at Miners Hall, Suite 209, and we're staffed Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m.
Are the classes all held on campus?
They are, mm-hmm. Unless particular classes that need extra facilities or special facilities might be off campus.
Like frog gigging or something?
I'm sorry?
Frog gigging?
Well, wine tasting.
Okay.
Wine tasting will meet at Paco Wong's restaurant,
okay.
For example.
And rides provided home. So when the people sign up, do they have to be a member of a certain organization or they get a card? You used to have something to do with the library as well.
Yes. With an Ollie ID, then you can get a library card. I believe it's good for the semester that you're enrolled for. So that's a very nice benefit.
What about parking?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Parking is included with our enrollment fee. You get a pass for the Sun Bowl parking garage for the length of the term.
And the classes are, do they last as long as a semester or when do they end?
A class normally lasts 6 weeks. We have 2 6-week sessions during the term.
And they can see the catalog online? Is that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's posted online right now.
You mentioned some of the classes that you're going to be offering this year. Is there one that's real popular or that perhaps you brought in this year because a lot of people were asking for it?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes, definitely. Radical Islam. Islam has really taken off. And we have everything from discovering Islam to conflict in the Middle East. This term, we're doing another class on jihad in Europe, and then two classes devoted exclusively to radical Islam and overview. So that's probably been one of our fastest growing areas.
Are those instructors from here? Do you have where the instructors come from?
It's various. One is from the area. He works in a local business. And then another one worked for Aramco in Saudi Arabia for 15 years. And he has sort of a mission to come back and try to let people know about the culture and the viewpoint of Islam. So we do have a variety, but every class I've taken has been led by a well-informed person.
Well, Susan and Steve, thank you very much for being with us here today. Again, if you're interested in registering for the classes, registration has started. You can call 747-6280 or 8848, or you can also go to ollie@utep.org and see the schedule there. And basically, you can sign up for as many classes as you can accommodate, and they'll tell you more about that when you go to that website. Thank you all very much for being here.
Thank you.
We've been visiting with Susan Sobin and Steve Schiller with Ollie. It used to be the Center for Lifelong Learning here at UTEP. And again, it's ollie@utep.org. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.